It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Hump Day. Welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter so that you get first look at all of the upcoming guests, as well as the latest in our op-eds and our Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast. Go over to Facebook and give us a like, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Big show planned for you today. In studio with me is one of my friends and a valued partner of the Kim Munson Show, Susan Kochevar, 88 Drive-In Theater. It is great to have you here.
Good morning. Good to be back.
Yes, there's been a lot that's happened since the last time you and I were in studio together.
Yeah, I think the last time was sometime in February.
And then what happened?
Everybody got locked down.
So what about 88 Drive-In Theater? So are you guys open? What's happening there?
We're open. We've been open since June. The governor graciously allowed drive-ins to open back in June. He announced it on, I think it was 4 o'clock on Memorial Day weekend, Friday. So I
had to really scramble then.
Really scrambled. And Commerce City has a pretty great mayor. He's a pretty interesting guy. And he worked to help us get open. And we did a very special program for Memorial Day weekend. He didn't want us to miss our 45th Memorial Day weekend. So we brought in a really great band and we had fun.
That is so awesome. So let's not shut down again.
Okay. No, we're not doing this again.
Yeah, let's not do that again. So it's so great to have you in studio, and a big show planned for you today. In the second segment, we'll be talking with Matt Durkin. He is a district attorney candidate for Jefferson and Gilpin counties. And Susan, these DA races are super important as we see what's happening across the country now.
Yes, they are, because right now we have a lot of activist DAs, and they're not prosecuting people who are actually committing property crimes and personal crimes, and that's a big problem.
And so that's why we're making sure that you get to know these candidates, because this is so important. And then third and fourth segment, we'll be talking with Tony Gagliardi. He is the Colorado director of the National Federation of Independent Business. Regarding the repeal of the Gallagher Amendment, and the Gallagher Amendment was put into the Colorado Constitution in 1982, regarding trying to keep residential property rates from getting so high. And a couple of weeks ago, we had Dennis Gallagher on, who is the co-architect of the Gallagher Amendment, and he is highly recommending a no vote on this. Tony is advocating for a yes vote on this. So we're going to have a conversation about that in the third and fourth segment. Big, big news on Friday. I'm a Trumpster bus tour. The minority bus tour kicks off at 4:30. Be there or be square. 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. We're meeting at 401 West 43rd Avenue, and we are going to create a motorcade. Reggie and Johnny would like to have at least 100 cars. There's going to be a lot of motorcycles, and we're going to go through the streets of Denver and kick this bus tour off. They needed $10,000 to wrap the bus. And if you grassroots people are pretty amazing. We raised over $13,000. Of course, there's other expenses that helped offset. And then we're starting something new, because it cost $800 to fuel the bus each time they fuel it.
Wow.
And so once again, if you go to I'm a Trumpster.com, you can contribute to help fund the bus tour. And then for every $50 that you contribute, you'll get one of these very cool battle masks. But congratulations. This is so exciting. I will be there. Have your flags for your car. Susan, I don't know if you can make it because of the drive-in.
Probably not, but we will be watching. That is fantastic news. Something is definitely happening, I think.
Something is definitely happening. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And it is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or the latest thing that they have rolled out is fear, Susan.
Boy, and they really are on that fear train. They keep trying all these different things. Now there's an asteroid headed for us.
That's why we do this show. And that is why we want to help you get your brain around these issues and then engage with your friends, your family, and your colleagues. I do want to give a shout out to one of our listeners, Marcelo. He texted me, and we are going back and forth on an issue that it's going to take a little bit of time for me to research. He said that he actually is a liberal, but he listens to our show regularly because he wants to hear what the other side has to say. And I really wanted to say I appreciate that very much. And I have some research that I need to do to get back with him. He seems like a really thoughtful guy. And I really appreciate that, Susan.
You know, I've heard more and more liberals being frightened by what's coming through the Democratic Party and the progressives.
I don't call them Democratic. I call them Democrat Party.
Mm-hmm.
Aha.
Well, they, you know, they're kind of scared. These really aren't the policies that they're interested in. You know, they want to help people and see people do well and, you know, don't care about social issues like gay marriage and things, and that's fine. But a lot of them are terrified by what they're seeing coming through the Democrat Party. And
well, most definitely. And so we'll talk about it in just a minute. I wanted to get to our quote for the day, and it's Ron Paul. And Ron Paul is an American author, physician, retired politician, and presidential candidate who served as the U.S. representative for Texas' 22nd congressional district from 1976 to 77, from 79 to 85, and then for Texas' 14th congressional district from 1997 to 2013. He was born in 1935. He is the father of Senator Rand Paul. And he said this, he said, "One thing is clear. The founding fathers never intended a nation where citizens would pay nearly half of everything they earn to the government."
Amen.
Absolutely.
Oh, that voice was producer Steve. Producer Steve, I always like to say thank you to this team we get to work with as well. That's Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And to each of you listeners, thank you for what you do. Today, strive for excellence, take care of heart, soul, mind, and body. I figured some people probably thought that voice was the voice of God, but it was actually producer Steve.
Well, or Susan, she does voice impersonation. Okay, now I lost my... Oh, well, a team can't be a team without a coach, so thanks, coach.
Go out and get him. So I wanted to get to this first headline here that Patty had researched out. And Candy C. DeBaca is a Denver City Councilwoman. And she falsely has accused police of pulling a gun on her and other protesters. And she is just really ramping up people. It says tensions continue to run high between one member of the Denver City Council and the Denver Police Department, with the latest battle playing out on Twitter. This is from Complete Colorado. Candy C. DeBaca, who represents District 9 on the council, accused a Denver police officer of pulling a gun on her and others using a video taken at a recent protest as evidence. The video she retweeted on Twitter drew dozens of responses, mostly against C. DeBaca. Last Thursday, C. DeBaca was participating in a protest over a sweep of a homeless camp in Denver's Five Points neighborhood. Now, do you think all the people in Five Points, Susan, like having that whole homeless encampment right there on their property?
I highly doubt it.
So the protest turned into a violent clash between protesters and police and resulted in several officers injured and one man arrested for carrying a replica of a BB gun. So apparently this video surfaces, Susan, and actually the gun that the police officer was holding, he was holding it by the barrel. It was this fake BB gun, and yet she is, how dishonest is this to try to fuel people, their emotions, and create these confrontations? It's terrible.
I think it's not a good position for somebody on city council. I think it's good to go out in the streets and see what's going on, but I did catch a brief clip of the actual recording she was doing while she was doing it, and it looked more to me like she was instigating that sort of thing. You know, we have government for a reason, and out there instigating people to hurt each other and hurt police and things, that's not a good position for a city council candidate at all.
Yeah. And last night on the RNC, there was, I think it was where I saw it on the RNC, is that people in all neighborhoods, whether or not it is the suburbs or if it's urban, black neighborhoods, they don't want to defund the police.
No.
They would really like to have police presence in their communities, because if not, you see what happens. The destruction. I think it was last night, and it was a woman from Kenosha. I think it was on the RNC. She was an immigrant, and she had tears in her eyes. They destroyed her business, and she couldn't understand why. This is terrible, what's going on. Wanted to make a quick point, Susan, and that is, I know so many parents that have busted their chops to send their kids to college, to have their kids come back not appreciative of the college education, and actually indoctrinated against the parents and the American idea. And Candy Sitabaka is an example of this, in as much as she was a Daniels scholar.
She was.
And Bill Daniels was an American patriot. He was a fighter pilot in World War II and the Korean War. He came back, and he was the father of cable. And he made a tremendous amount of money, and he put it into a foundation because he wanted to go to education for kids, because he felt education was so important. Mm-hmm. He would turn over in his grave to see what has happened to education. And Charlie Kirk with Turning Point is actually going out and starting to work with college donors to colleges and universities, saying, this is what you're getting. You might not want to send your money over here. And so I think we need to have a real gut check on that.
Absolutely, Susan. Agree. The Daniels Fund goes through the University of Denver, and that was my alma mater. I haven't sent any contributions to the University of Denver because they are producing people who are absolutely contrary to small business. My family worked very hard to put me through school, and to watch these kids be taught these things and then to promote these policies that absolutely destroy small business is despicable.
And Candy Sitabaka was a graduate, I think, of the University of Denver.
Yes.
So I just wanted to make sure that we have something underlying. I think it's good that we're starting to shed light on this.
Mm-hmm.
But we as parents, we as donors, we as foundations, we need to make sure we know what we're paying for and not pay for things that are wanting to tear down America. But let's go to one of my new partners, and that's Hal Van Herke. He is one of the owners of Castlegate Knives. I have been out to the store. It is pretty amazing. Hal Van Herke, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing well. And just want to say thank you. You are a new partner of the show, and really love working with you. And, you know, you've helped me out, you and your wife, Linnea, with some wedding gifts that people are actually having some weddings now, and so I get to take gifts. And recently, for one of my cousin's daughters, a beautiful steak knife set, and then one of my nephews is getting married, and we'll be getting together, and you'll be getting that to me as well. So, Hal Van Herke, just tell us very quickly a little bit about Castlegate Knives.
Yes. Castlegate Knife and Tool, located in Sedalia, Colorado, which is just about 15 minutes south of Highlands Ranch, outside of Denver. And you can reach us at www.castlegate.com, or you can call our store at 303-214-4303. And we're what you would consider to be a traditional full-line knife and tool retailer. We carry everything from kitchen knives, like you mentioned, to pocket knives, knives for use in various trades, for camping, for preparedness, for personal defense. We carry knives that are designed specifically for first responders, whether or not they're EMTs or firemen or those being deployed in the military, et cetera. So small family-owned business, been in business for 5 years. The family owns everything at the location, including the building, and in cash. 100% debt-free, so we're not going anywhere. I'm happy to take care of any of your needs.
And it's really impressive. So I'd recommend. Are you guys open on Saturday?
Yeah, we're open. We're open 7 days a week from 10 to 6.
Okay, so I'd say a fun thing to do this weekend would be to go out to Castlegate Knife and Tool. And Hal Van Herke, it is great to have you as a new partner of the Kim Munson Show.
Thanks, Kim. Appreciate it.
Okay, you have a great day. We're going to go to break here in just a moment. When we come back, we'll be talking with Matt Durkin. But another one of my great partners is Hooters Restaurants. And there's actually sports. I think, I don't know what time the game is, but the Avalanche play today. They're down by two. But what a great thing, Susan, to go over to Hooters Restaurants. They have all the TVs. They have specials, happy hour specials. And it's just kind of nice to have a little bit of kind of normal, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
And so be sure and check out Hooters Restaurants. Go to order.hooters.com. That's order.hooters.com. We're going to go to break. Susan Kochevar, 88 Drive-In Theater, is in studio with me. We'll be right back with Matt Durkin.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. In studio with me is one of my valued partners, and that is Susan Kochevar with the 88 Drive-In Theater. It's great having you here.
Thank you. It's fun to be in again.
Okay. And we've got Matt Durkin on the line. He is a candidate for district attorney for Jefferson and Gilpin counties. These races, my friends, are amongst, they're all important, but these are super, super important. Matt Durkin, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kim.
Let's talk local first. I mean, there's so much happening out there, but what is happening locally that people need to be informed about regarding keeping our communities and our households safe?
Well, Kim, locally, we continue to suffer from a huge rising spike in crime. What we're seeing is, once again, Denver was lit on fire this past weekend and looted. And we are just seeing spiking crime. The murder rate in surrounding communities like Denver and Aurora are going to be an all-time high, or at least as high as they've been in a decade. And we're seeing that type of rising crime out in Jefferson County, too, as we just are currently investigating a double homicide at the Walmart there in Wadsworth and Colfax.
That's right by my church. When did that happen?
That was on Sunday afternoon, evening, and there were several shootings around the Denver metro area. I believe that Thornton had quite a few shootings, I believe, Sunday night as well. So
we see this
violence isn't just limited to Denver and Aurora. It's starting to spread to the surrounding communities as well.
You know, something that I found interesting, Susan, last night on the RNC was that they had the family from St. Louis, who they made the point that, you know, there was a gate that was broken down to get into this community, and these quote-unquote protesters were going by. They were threatening these people, and so they, you know, they had their firearms and were protecting their property, and they were the only ones that were accused of a crime, Susan. I can't believe that.
Yeah, shocking. Those folks definitely need some gun training before they get out there with their guns, but defending their own property, for sure.
So, Matt, that's why the point I want to make is that's why these DA races are so important, because these people that were wanting to protect their property, the DA brought charges against them, but not against anybody that was threatening them, threatening their property and their safety. That's why these races are super important. And George Soros has been playing in these DA races over the last few election cycles, and he's back.
You're exactly right. In fact, that DA in St. Louis is a George Soros DA. And you can see the product of George Soros DAs on the communities in Philadelphia, Chicago. You see that in St. Louis. And we're seeing that here. The only charges that were levied against any of the rioters
from June was against a young woman who made the wrong turn down a wrong way, the wrong street, ended up in the wrong place at the wrong time, and was just trying to get out of there. And she ended up clipping a protester or a rioter who was going after her car, and she drove a block away, called the police, and that's who the Denver DA chose to charge. None of the millions of dollars of rioters who destroyed the Capitol and surrounding businesses. And so that's what makes these races so important, is that that is an absolute abrogation of that DA's duty to put politics over public safety. We need to put public safety over politics to put an end to this violence. And that's what it is. It's just simple crime. It's simple violence.
You know, Matt, it seems to me that community safety transcends parties for sure. I've got to think that there's a ton of Blue Dog Democrats and Libertarians and unaffiliated and Republicans and conservatives that are going to look at this and they're going to say, wait a minute, I thought maybe, maybe somebody on the left said, I don't think that my property will be destroyed because I'm with you. That's not the case. We are seeing that it has been totally unbiased on all of the property that they are destroying.
You're exactly right. This is, public safety really isn't a political issue. It's our basic right here in the United States. But whether or not you're a Democrat or Republican or unaffiliated neighbor, community member, business owner, we all have the right to be free of violence and free of crime. And so that's something that we all share in our neighborhoods, in our communities, and in our businesses, is that right to be free of crime.
Well, let's talk a little bit nationally now. Kenosha, Wisconsin is, I think, kind of like a bedroom community to the Milwaukee area. I think it's hardworking people there. And I saw a piece yesterday. I mentioned it, I think it was from the RNC. A woman, clearly an immigrant, or I think she was an immigrant, has worked hard for her business, and she had tears in her eyes, and she's just like, she can't understand how this could happen, that somebody could come in and loot and destroy her business. And so what's your thoughts about Kenosha right now, Matt Durkin?
Well, I'm very, very concerned. I'm concerned for a lot of reasons. It looks like there was three shot last night. Two were killed. You've already mentioned that tons of businesses are being destroyed. Many of those businesses are those who are in the Hispanic community or African-American community, and that's just a tragedy that we're creating more victims. And what is very, very concerning about this is that this investigation was initiated immediately into whether or not the shooting was appropriate or not, and it is still pending, and that's what needs to happen. A quality, impartial investigation needs to occur to determine whether or not this was a justified shooting. And what has happened is, it seems like it's happening again, is that there's a very small clip that's released to the public to incite that outrage. And as we are already seeing, there's greater video out there and a greater investigation that needs to happen to shed light on what occurred here. So just like we shouldn't rush to judgment in the courtroom, we shouldn't rush to judgment in charging. It appears as though that there's been a rush to judgment here, which has really victimized the greater community. And everyone in that community, including the family of the shooting, of the person who was shot, deserves a fair and impartial investigation.
Well, and that is the bedrock, one of the bedrocks, Matt Durkin, of the American idea. So, you know, there's always been, in all generations, there can be quote-unquote mobs that... you know, all kinds of bad things can happen from that. And so that is why due process was put into the Constitution. And when we're talking about policing, there certainly can be some bad apples, but we need to have due process. We're now having trial by Twitter, and that is a very dangerous place for America to be.
I couldn't agree more. We need quality investigations that are impartial so that there can be due process. And that's due process for Jacob Blake, if he needs that due process, or due process for others. And we cannot just simply govern by mob rule and turn this process or our communities over to the mob. That's exactly what is happening right now, and that's what's so disturbing.
And people say, well, what can I do? Well, one of the things that they can do is to make sure that they get district attorneys into office that care about due process, that care about impartial investigations. Matt Durkin, we're starting, and I've, you know, there's not enough hours in the day, but we're going to have to figure this out. I am recommending that people adopt a candidate. So, like, adopt you, reach out to you and see how they can help you, whether it be walking or texting or whatever. So how can people, if they want to adopt Matt Durkin, how can they reach you?
Well, Kim, I would love to be adopted by a whole bunch of people. So please go to durkinforda.com, that's D-U-R-K-I-N-F-O-R-D-A.com, to contribute and to volunteer. Our campaign is in full swing. We are excited. We are walking, we are calling, we are texting, and we are out there in the community. If we can host a sign that would be in your yard, that'd be great as well. So please go to durkinforda.com.
That's durkinforda.com. Matt Durkin, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again here in a few weeks.
Thank you, Kim. Take care.
You bet. And on the line with me is Jason McBride, another valued partner of the Kim Munson Show, Presidential Wealth Management, and all of his colleagues over there. Jason McBride, happy Wednesday. It's hump day.
That's right. That's right. We're halfway through almost.
So I have a question for you. You know, we were talking about the Dow 30 last week. You were explaining that. And then I saw a headline a couple of days ago that Exxon is no longer going to be part of the Dow 30. And I think there was a couple of other companies as well, Raytheon, and now I can't remember the other one. What's your, you know, explain that to our listeners, Jason.
Well, occasionally the indexes do what's called a reconstitution, where they'll remove some companies from the index and they put in new companies. Normally, they'll say stuff like, you know, these new ones better represent the economy. This particular article you sent me, they said they needed to make changes due to Apple's stock split, because once Apple's price comes down from 500 down to 125, then it's going to be a much lower representation of the Dow, which means that technology will be a lower representation. So they're replacing Exxon, Pfizer, and Raytheon Technologies with Salesforce, Honeywell, and Amgen, which I don't really see how that adds a whole bunch more technology to it. So, yeah, Kim, you know, I'm not sure. The article you sent me was from CBS News. When you read through it, it has a, you know, an awful lot of editorial and opinion. Of course, they bash Exxon in the article and that type of thing. However, it is normal occasionally for the indexes, including the Dow, you know, to toss out some of the old and add some new.
Okay, so just a question. So let's say the economy, let's say Exxon, their valuation of the company goes back up. Would they reconstitute this, or does that happen very often when they, you know, do this?
Because you know, Kim, I think they look at it once a year, or they'll look at it when you have an event like, you know, Apple's big stock split. But they're not on any automatic schedule. And, you know, if I remember right, the way they do it with the Dow is actually kind of mysterious. There's no, excuse me, exact formula. It's kind of a committee who makes the decisions as to what goes in and what comes out. I may be wrong on that.
Not but, you.
But, well, it's possible, but the way I remember it, it's just kind of the committee decides, and there's always been a little bit of mystery, you know, about how exactly they choose what goes out and what goes in.
Oh, that is fascinating. That's really fascinating. Jace, before we go to break, I would really recommend that people go to our landing page together. That is Air Presidential, AIRpresidential.com, to take a look at your comparison that you did, apples to apples, of a couple, three kids, their tax bill in 2017 to their tax bill in 2019. And you can see that for this you know, middle-class family, that from 2017 to 2019, after the Trump tax cuts, that they have a lot more money in their pocket from their They paid a lot less in federal income taxes. They paid more in Colorado, and, you know, we'll talk about that. But I think it's important, as we're moving into an election cycle, when people say that the Trump tax cuts were only for millionaires and billionaires, that they understand it's right there, and you've done a great analysis on that, Jason.
Well, thank you, Kim. I do appreciate that. And nothing could be further from the truth. You know, the Trump tax cuts were squarely directed at the lower earners and the middle class. Yeah, some of the higher earners got a small break as well. You know, but percentage-wise, they got a tiny reduction in their taxes, if any, compared to the reductions that, you know, that the middle class got, Kim. So I agree with you. Take a look at it. It's pretty amazing.
It is pretty interesting. So Jason McBride, thank you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow, and people can reach you and your team over there at Presidential at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You too, Kim. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Jason. And we're going to go to break. In studio with me is another valued partner, and that is Susan Kochevar, 88 Drive-In Theater. And when we come back, we'll talk with Tony Gagliardi. He is the Colorado Director of the National Federation of Independent Business regarding the question on the ballot to repeal the Gallagher Amendment. So stay tuned.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all the stuff that we are doing. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. We'd appreciate it if you would go over to Facebook and give us a like. In studio with me is Susan Kochevar, small business owner, owner of the 88 Drive-In Theater. It's great having you here. It always goes so fast, Susan.
It does. We're already over halfway.
I know it. So let's go to Tony Gagliardi. He is on the line. He is the Colorado director of the National Federation of Independent Business. And a few weeks ago, we had Dennis Gallagher on the show, who is a co-architect of the Gallagher Amendment, which was an amendment put into the Colorado Constitution in 1982 by the people of Colorado. The purpose was to try to keep residential property rates from skyrocketing. At the time, California was just raising property taxes on homes significantly. So this was put into the Constitution. The intersection of the Gallagher Amendment and then Tabor, which was 10 years later, the Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, has created some interesting things. And so Tony Gagliardi, National Federation of Independent Business, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So Dennis Gallagher is advocating for a no vote on this ballot question. Tony, you're on the other side, is my understanding. Why?
Well, that's a great question to come out of the box with. You've got to first understand just what Gallagher is. And that was it's a 40-year-old outdated provision in the Constitution that sets property rates based on a complicated set of formulas and ratios between total taxes paid on commercial, industrial, agricultural, and residential properties. It, in the very beginning, was designed, as Senator Gallagher, I'm sure, explained, to prevent, in his words, elderly people being thrown out of their homes, which at that time was an argument that that seemed to work when he was attempting to pass the Gallagher Amendment. We, NFIB, along with some North Denver businesses, hosted Senator Gallagher a year and a half ago at a forum to talk about Gallagher. And what's interesting is his arguments go back to 1982. He doesn't address the fact of what's happened. And one example I'll use is to Denver Bookbinding. Going on a 100-year-old family-owned business, was located originally in the Lohi District in the building they owned. And about 6 or 7 years ago, the property taxes, because of Gallagher, were approaching $100,000 on the building. And they only had two choices. One was either close the business, or two, locate to a area that had a lesser property value and set up a whole new shop. And that's what they chose to do. They chose to relocate, and now they are starting to face the same challenges, the escalating property tax on business. So this referendum that was sent to the ballot by over 70% on a bipartisan vote of the Colorado State Legislature, beginning to recognize that we have a problem. If people want to continue to have neighborhood businesses like the 88 Drive-In and local dry cleaners on Main Street, and they want EMS services when they dial up 911, something's going to have to change, and it's going to have to start with Gallagher.
So, Tony, couldn't communities, though, and my understanding is the intersection with Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, and Gallagher is, and what you mentioned is it the State Assessment Office? Now, I can't remember exactly, but they go through and they take a look at the value of all the property in Colorado. And then, as you mentioned, there's a formula between residential and commercial. And residential is supposed to pay 45% of all the property taxes in Colorado, and commercial is supposed to pay 55%. Well, with the increase in value along the Front Range, and you know the growth, there's more and more residential. So they still, the whole residential pie is still 45%, but because there's more and more people, more and more houses, that rate has gone down on property in the metro area. So that's what's kind of created the problem, because then that affects the rural communities as well, and they may not have the commercial to make that up. Am I correct on that, Tony? I know it's complicated.
It is very complicated. In fact, to be quite honest, there's probably out of 100 people, one or two who actually know how Gallagher operates. When the Gallagher Amendment was first adopted, residential properties were valued at $35 billion, or 53% of all the value in the state. In 2019, Colorado residential properties had a total market value of $874 billion, or nearly 80% of all the value in the state. So a massive shift has occurred over time. So as the valuations of property continue to climb, residential property effectively ratchets down. The property taxes they pay in comparison to the increase in value ratchets down, while the 55% that businesses pay at a rate of 29% continues to climb. And all this referendum does is freeze those assessment rates, and any increase would require a vote of the people.
Okay, so Tony, question, when you say it freezes those property tax rates, where I see that there could be a problem, say for an elderly person that's been in their home for a long time, let's say that their property values go up, their assessment goes up. So their taxes would go up because their property values have gone up. So in essence, that would be a tax increase on that senior citizen. Am I reading that correctly, Tony?
We don't look at it that way, because when you figure in, you know as well as I do, every year, every time we come around to November, local governments and special districts are coming to their voters in those districts asking for continuous mill levy increases. School districts, fire districts, ditch properties, cities and counties are asking for additional mill levy increases. What this will do by repealing Gallagher, it will allow things to settle out and level out, and you won't be seeing those continuous mill levy increases. So, yeah, while you may have a cheap property tax assessment, when you figure in the mill levies that are being passed at the local level, it's still a tax increase. So to say that this initiative causes a tax increase, you just really can't go there. We don't see it doing that.
But people, so the mill levies, though, I mean, they're going to still come back and ask for mill levy increases, aren't they, Tony?
Any local government has the right to do that, or an EMS, but not at the rate you're going to see currently. If this referendum passes, and it's called a referendum because it was referred to the ballot by the state legislature.
Okay.
So if it passes, people are not going to see what the opponents are out there saying, massive tax increases. We just don't see it happening.
Hmm. Susan Kochevar, you had a question.
If I'm following, what you're saying is one of the reasons that you wouldn't see these massive increases in mill levies is because it gives everybody more skin in the game. Am I following?
Yeah, I guess the bottom line is residential property owners haven't paid their fair share property taxes since 1982.
So they're less likely to vote for those mill levy increases because everybody does say, oh, well, you know, the businesses can afford it.
Yeah, you know what, Tony? Go ahead,
that's
Tony.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Susan is absolutely right.
So, Tony, let's go to break and come back and continue this very important conversation. Before we do that, though, you heard Hal Van Herke with Castlegate Knife and Tool on the line earlier. This is a great new partner of the Kim Munson Show. They are located in Sedalia, Colorado. They are a family-owned business, a wide range of knives and tools for, it could be for the sportsman, it could be gifts, for the military, just all kinds of great, a collector. So be sure and check out Castlegate Knife and Tool. That is castlegate.com. This is Kim Munson. Susan Kochevar is in studio. We have Tony Gagliardi on the line. We'll be right back.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter so that you get first look at all that we're doing, the guests for the next week. And go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. On the line with me is Tony Gagliardi. He is the Colorado Director for the National Federation of Independent Business. And in studio with me is one of my valued partners, and that's Susan Kochevar with 88 Drive-In Theater. So, Tony, I'm going to read the language for this because then I just have a couple of questions on that. So it says, without increasing property tax rates, I think that's something that's I'm concerned about, but we'll have to unpack that, to help reserve funding for local districts that provide fire protection, police, ambulance, hospital, kindergarten through 12th grade education and other services, and to avoid automatic mill levy increases, shall there be an amendment to the Colorado Constitution to repeal the requirement that the General Assembly periodically change the residential assessment rate in order to maintain a statewide proportion of residential property as compared to all other taxable property valued for property tax purposes, and repeal the non-residential property tax assessment rate of 29%. So my first question, I think, is you kind of mentioned this, automatic mill levy increases. How is it that there's automatic mill levy increases, Tony?
I was surprised also, Kim, at that language, because I was not aware that municipalities or special districts could have automatic mill levy increases. But another piece that you read says that this referendum would require the General Assembly periodically to change the residential assessment rate. You need to remember the legislature, if they do change an assessment rate, that will have to be voted on by the people.
Okay. So the next question, well, you know what? I can't say that I totally trust this legislature, though, Tony. You know what? When I saw what happened there, and when I look at all the names that are on the legislation, I know that there's some bipartisan. But this is people that have not been friends of small business. And so I'm trying to match this up, Tony, that on one hand, they say they care about, non-residential or, commercial property, small businesses. But yet when I look at all of this other legislation that they've passed that hurt small businesses, it's like I'm not totally convinced. So that goes to the very last sentence here. And it repeals the non-residential property tax assessment rate of 29%. What will they replace that with? Tony, what will they replace that with?
I'm sorry, you dropped out there.
Okay. My question was, is the last sentence, it says that they will repeal the non-residential property tax assessment rate of 29%. What will they replace that with?
That's up to the legislature. It would have to go back to the legislature. The legislature would come up with, I'm sure, an equitable formula. And then if there was any increase, it would have to go to a vote of the people. You know, we have been asked for years. I've been at NFIB 15 years now. And I am constantly asked by policymakers, what can be done to help small business? Everybody wants to support small business. And we have been warning for the last 15 years of the perfect storm approaching. And we are already there. We are already there where your local businesses cannot afford to stay in their current location, even though they've been there sometimes 40 and 50 years. And now, the economic conditions that we're facing with the government shutdown of business, the COVID virus did not cause the shutdown. Government caused the shutdown. And businesses are still getting increases in the property tax. The legislature did allow local governments to delay the assessments or the payments of property taxes. But We have been saying for years, Gallagher needs to change, and now it's we have the opportunity. And again, if who really gets hurt, nobody talks about it. You know, it's kind of like small business, helping small business. Everybody, politicians love to talk about it, but when the TV cameras are shut off and the lights go down, they scatter in all directions. But in many rural communities, Gallagher itself has gutted essential public services such as fire and hospital district funding systems. And unless we change, rural Colorado is going to be left without services.
Okay, so my understanding, though, talking to Dennis Gallagher, is that these communities can actually, they can vote to get more money over to their fire districts. They can do that on an individual community basis. Tony, I agree with you that the intersection of Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, and Gallagher is creating some challenges. I don't think that this is the right answer yet. When I looked at the names on this legislation that referred this to the ballot, these were people that in other decisions they made are not friends of business. And so it's like, I can't quite measure up that they say they want to help small businesses, but this looks to me like it could be a big tax increase.
And unfortunately, Kim, we disagree with you. We do not believe this referendum lays the groundwork for a tax increase. And again, any increase would have to be voted on by the voters under the Tabor Amendment.
But if in fact it's freezing property tax rates, but it's not freezing the, the rate for businesses. So it's taking away that, I guess the assumption would be that that would go down, but there's no guarantee. And it freezes property tax assessment rates. So if somebody's property values go up, they're going to pay more in taxes, right, Tony?
When you figure in, as I mentioned previously, when you figure in the increase in mill levies, it's all going to be equal out. They're not going to be paying any more property taxes than they are today when the mill levy increases are figured in.
But who makes the decision on the mill levies then?
Those are your local governments. Those are your local governments. In fact, some local governments, the minute a new assessment rate comes in, they immediately will start filing for increase in mill levies.
Interesting. Okay. Okay, Tony, Susan Kochvar, do you have any questions?
I don't. It requires more study. The Gallagher Amendment is very convoluted.
It is. And Tony, you and I do agree that the intersection of that has really been difficult for small businesses, and we need to do something about it. Before we get rid of it, though, I need to be convinced that we've got our small businesses protected, and I just haven't seen a number of those legislators that have their names on that in other things saying they care about business. Do you want to take that on, Tony?
I appreciate your comments, Kim, and everybody's concerned about small business, but what have we done over the last 40 years to really help small businasses in the first place?
Not much.
And I asked Dennis Gallagher that exact question, and he couldn't answer me.
Okay. Tony, we have just a couple of minutes left, so I want to give you these couple of minutes to share your final thoughts with our listeners.
You know what? This has been, we've asked for this for a long time. Small businesses, you know, everybody thinks business owners, and Susan can attest to this, everybody thinks if you own your own business, you have deep pockets, you can afford to pay for all these mandated employee benefit programs that we're seeing coming down the pike. And we're facing a crossroads here. We are facing a crossroads, whether businesses, unless they're a major corporation, that gets primarily the favorable treatment by policymakers. But unless you're a major corporation, you're not going to be able to afford to stay on Main Street. And we have to do something. And if the Gallagher Amendment is repealed the property tax rates paid by homeowners and businesses, farmers and ranchers would be frozen at the same rate that has made us the third lowest in the country. And only a vote of the citizens of Colorado could ever increase those property taxes. So I appreciate your time, and I hope you both study it and ask questions. And we look forward to the outcome in November.
Okay. Tony Gagliardi, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Have a great day. And Susan Kochevar, it's so great to have you in studio.
Fun to be here. Fun to talk and examine all the issues.
And you are the owner of Small Business 88 Drive-In Theater. So our quote for today is from Ron Paul. He says, "Don't steal. The government hates competition." So today, my friends, be grateful. Read great books. Think good thoughts. Listen to beautiful music. Communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals. And like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.